From the macabre minds of Laughing Devil Production comes another story from the Nightshade Diary. You know what that means. Check under the bed and make sure no one or nothing is there. Is the closet door securely shut? Then leave your disbelief behind, amp up your imagination, and hang on tight for another ride into terror and mystery. And like all good horror stories, just imagine it's a dark and stormy night. And remember, screaming like a little girl is permitted. Gibbler's Ghost by William F. Nolan. Plippity plop, a girl a night. Rainbow chicks, blonde on Monday, brunette on Tuesday, redhead on Wednesday. Falling like soft, ripe plums into Des Cahill's bed. Des shook the tree and down they came. Plippity plop. Ole Des, the makeout king. Cahill, the cool Mr. Codpiece. Remember how it was? Every young stud in the country envied him. Walked like Des in his Gucci buckle clips. Wore his hair with that same cruel curl over one eye. Thumb crushed his cigs after three quick puffs the same savage way Des did. Sure, who could forget? But now he's gone. No more movies or TV specials or Broadway guest shots in the nude. Women, and a lot of men, paid scalpers up to $100 to get a front row peek at Cahill's equipment. And they were never disappointed. So what happened? How come at the top of the ladder, he walks, does the big fade, and is seen no more? I can tell you. I figure his public deserves to have the real rap laid down on Des Cahill. I was his best friend, if he ever had one. My name is Albert. I took care of his income tax problems and lent him my shoulder for crying on. And believe me, Des had plenty to cry about. It begins with a ghost. Des liked to swing high. His pad was in Benedict Canyon, rafters, crackling fire, mile-deep rug, a bear's head on the wall, a cozy. I was working in the back of the house late one night on a capital gains tax dodge for Des, my first time over to his place, when I hear this agonized female shriek of fear from the master bedroom. As I rush toward the room, out the door comes this pneumatic blonde wearing midnight hush eye makeup and a really terrified expression. She snake shakes into her clothes, looking great doing it, and does a quick exit. Then she misses three gears on her MG going down the hill. Des is standing by the bed, wearing a rumpled pair of tiger's eye shorts and looking bereft. That's the only word for how he looked, bereft. It was him again, he says softly. Who's him? The friggin' ghost. Who the hell else would I have in there? Right away, I take his word. Then you've seen this spook before? At my question, Des chuckles. He laughs. He throws back his head and howls. He falls down on the rug, breaking up. Then he stops and looks at me. Albert, he says, I'm going to tell you something I have never told anybody else in this living world. I'm 25, loaded with bread, up to my ass in fame, with maybe 10,000 cuddly little numbers ready to make the sex scene any time I lift a pinky. And you know what? What? Albert, I am a virgin. We have a drink. Two drinks. We're on our third, vodka martinis with hair on their chests, when Des lays it out for me. First time I tried to make it all the way with a chick, I was 15, and that's when I saw him. The ghost, in broad daylight, at the beach on a Saturday afternoon. An old geezer dressed in full armor, looming right above us with this horse over his head. I stopped Des there, and he tells me that whenever the ghost appears, he is always holding up a horse. Holding it in the air. Like he's about to throw it at you, says Des. Anyhow, the chick fainted, and I was very disturbed. It happened again the following Friday with me and the mayor's daughter, and that's the way it's been ever since. I got a chick into the hay, and we were at the absolute moment of truth, you know. I know. And that's when the ghost comes on with a horse. Naturally, it scares the shit out of my date. Naturally. No matter where I am, it happens. On location down in Pennsylvania last summer for the coal mine flick. I had every precious young available female in town panting at my motel door. So I took them on, one per night, and always got up to the grand moment. You know. I know. When out he pops with his goddamn overhead horse and the scene is blown. 36 days on location. 36 chicks. 36 blow-ups. He knuckles his eyes, rolls his head. Albert, I cannot go on. I've got the hottest sex rep in showbiz, and I haven't made it once. He sobs, a broken, terrible sound. Not once. That's when I give him my shoulder to cry on. Later, I give him advice. Hire a class ghostbreaker who knows his spooks and go after the bastard with a horse. This he does. The ghostbreaker's a nervous, kinky little guy, but he guarantees his work. There will no longer be a ghost when he is through. This we can bank on. He goes the full route, with powders that flash and explode, with chalk circles around the bed, and invocations and curses and lots of arm waving, with incense that really stings and hand clapping and plenty of yelling. But each time, just as Dez and the particular lady of his choice reach the ultimate moment, whap, the ghost is there. Naturally, all the stinking incense and exploding powders and yelling and hand clapping don't exactly delight the young thing who happens to be sharing the sheets with Dez. And she always demands to know just what the hell is going on with this creepy guy hopping nervously around their bed. But Dez is able to calm her down, and she's usually okay until the ghost shows. At which time she bolts, like they all bolt, straight out of the room, shrieking. This goes on for 3 weeks, with Dez getting thinner and more bereft looking by the week. Finally, I ask him if he'd mind if I joined the group, to kind of size up the ghost for myself and maybe come in with some fresh ideas. Sure, he says. And that night, there's Dez and the uneasy ghostbreaker and a redhead with an immense heaving bosom and me, all of us in the master bedroom. Sex? Under these conditions is never good, but Dez manages to thrash himself into a damn remarkable performance until... Zambo. There's the ghost right on the old button. I give him the careful once-over. A seedy old gink, scowling inside a cheapsy suit of backlot armor, with a crazy-eyed palomino above his head. I concentrate on the face. Suddenly I let out a whoop. I know the bum! That's Joey Gibbler! It's Gibbler, I tell you! The ghost looks startled and vanishes. But by then, the girl is shrieking and the nervous ghostbreaker is exploding more powders, and Dez is in no real condition to listen to me. After, when things are more settled, I spell it out. Gibbler was an extra back in the days of the silence, I tell Dez. I remember reading about how he and this palomino horse both broke their necks doing a battle sequence for the Queen's Cute Question. One of those slapstick historicals they used to grind out at Monarch. Dez shoots up an eyebrow. Dad directed that one. I know he did. It was his last picture. Exactly. And he died of a stroke the following week, which explains everything. Not to me, it doesn't. Joey was sore over getting his neck broke, and he blamed your pop for it. But he didn't have time to haunt him. The stroke beat him out. So Gibbler decides to haunt you instead. He waits until you're old enough to taste the sweet fruits of life, and then he cunningly denies them to you. And he'll keep on until we placate him. But how? How do you placate a sore spook? The key is Joey Gibbler Jr. The kid must be about 30 by now. Not bad looking. I've seen his name in the trades. An extra trying to make it as an actor? Right. So set it up for him. Throw some weight at the studio and get him into a picture. Junior clicks, and his old man stops haunting you out of sheer gratitude. You can do it. Albert, he says, I can do it. He does it. Joey winds up with a fat part in The Big Bottom, and overnight, the way it can happen, Joey Gibbler Jr. is a star. And overnight, Dez makes it all the way through the moment of truth. No ghost. Ole, Dez Cahill is divergenized. He hugs me, dances me around the room, thrusts signed checks at me, insists that I accept his mother's wedding ring. It is a tearful, joyful occasion. The next night, I got a jingle at my place. Dez on the horn, sounding terribly bereft. What's wrong, I ask. A new one showed, he says. Another ghost? Albert, it can't be. But it is. It's Joey Jr. I buzz over to Benedict Canyon in my Porsche. Dez meets me at the door, crazy-eyed like the Palomino. We get it all in the 11 o'clock news. Actor dies in freak set accident. Rising star Joey Gibler Jr. suffers a broken neck when a delicatessen set falls on him during a Jewish film sequence. Wow. Dez signs. That accounts for the white butcher's apron he's wearing and what he holds above his head. Which is? A displaced case full of mostly bagels and cream cheese. I'm sorry to tell you, but this story had no happy ending. Dez, who swears he'll never resign himself to celibacy, has quit the acting game and is on the move. Last I heard, he'd covered most of Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, and was in the Australian backcountry. What's he looking for is a very brave chick, well-stacked, 18 to 25, who isn't afraid of seeing each night a scowling spook in a butcher's apron with a display case full of mostly bagels and cream cheese above his head. And they just don't hardly make that kind anymore.